And now, people of Jesus, would you please turn with me in your copy of Jesus' word to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm going to read for us this morning verses 6, 7, and 8. John chapter 1. When you get there, or if you're using the screen, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? At home too, we invite you to stand with us. Just one of the ways we encourage you to stay engaged in the service and to participate with us as we worship together, even spread out as we are. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. This is the word of the Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray, give thanks to him for it, and also pray with and for one another. Indeed, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us your word and your word which uses things that we experience all throughout our lives to remind us of your truths. Pictures like the snow. Will you tell us that though our sins are like scarlet, you have washed them and made them whiter than snow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And we thank you that you verify your word with witnesses like John the Baptizer and the Apostle John. We thank you that in all things we know we can trust your word. We can trust this word, and we need this word. And so would you speak to our hearts by your word this morning, Father? Would you speak your word and comfort the downtrodden and the brokenhearted? Would you speak your word and comfort the grieving and the hopeless? Father, would you send your word and give life to the dead in spirit that they might know you? And would you, Father, because of your word which died and rose again for us, would you hear us as we pray for our family this morning? This morning we thank you with Phil Parsons and his family that he did not have a heart event, that he's been released back home to his family. We thank you, Lord, for your healing. We thank you for your grace. We pray for your continued work, Lord, that you would use even this to draw your people near to you. We pray, Father, for Molly Chalfant beginning radiation and chemotherapy. Would you have mercy, Lord? Would you help, Lord? Would you heal, Lord? We pray for Stephanie and her ovarian cancer. Have mercy, O God. We continue to pray for Leanna Hawk, that you would heal her, that you would bring her home to her husband. Have mercy, O God. Strengthen her body. Strengthen her spirit. Thank you for the testimonies of her praying for doctors and nurses that are ministering to her. Would you continue to minister to her body, to her spirit? Heal, O Lord. For each of us, Father, whatever's happening in our hearts and in our lives, would you hear us as we cry out to you in our places of pain? Speak your word to us, Lord. We need it. And now would you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand, that we might know you more, love you better, and love like you love. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated, please? Raindrops on roses, whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles, and Bernie in mittens. This week we saw a lot of Bernie Sanders, didn't we? I saw him parasailing. I saw him fly with Dorothy and Toto in the tornado. I saw him captured on trail cameras in the woods. I saw him in a Where's Waldo picture. I saw him in the Batmobile. And even on a Tauntaun from the Star Wars movies. These are all super fun, and they generate a great amount of giggles and fun, and they're part of fun applications of technology where we can swap out faces of friends and families and put them in slideshows. In fact, one of our congregants is particularly good at and known for doing this to some of his pastors and friends. I won't mention Jim's name, though. But there's a darker use of this technology also. There's this use of similar technology sometimes called deep fakes. It's the art of replacing a person in a video with the likeness of somebody else. You cut out the original person, you replace them with a new person, and it's used for all kinds of devious purposes, including blackmail, for example. False news stories, reports designed to destroy the reputation or credibility of someone. And so when you start to think about all the things that even regular people like us can do with technology, making it look like somebody did something or showed up somewhere when they really didn't, it starts to get a little bit scary, doesn't it? I mean, how do you know if a video is real or not? How do you know if a picture is real or not? How do you know what's true? What can you trust? Who can you believe? Yeah, friends, this is a really big deal because, well, none of us want to be deceived, right? We don't want to be duped or lied to or caught up in false narratives, believing fake stories. We want the truth, don't we? We want to know what's true, and we want the people around us, our friends and our families, we want them to know what's true, don't we? I don't know if there's anything that drives me crazier than my friends believing stuff that I think isn't real or isn't true or isn't accurate, right? We want them to know truth, and we want to know truth. Isn't that right? You see, that's what the Apostle John is doing in his book that he's writing about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. He's writing to non-believing Jewish people of his days. You see, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, many Jewish people started following Jesus, worshiping Jesus, telling other people about this Jesus. But their Jewish friends and family started to get worried about them. They thought Christians were believing a lie. They thought Christians were worshiping a new god, a false god. They thought that these Christians, these followers of Jesus, were abandoning truth, the truth of the Old Testament and the ways of the Jewish faith. And so the Apostle John, he's writing to say, no, friends, we're not caught up in falsehood. Jesus is truth. You see, the Apostle John, he's writing to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is the one true and living God, that Jesus Christ came to give you life, that Jesus Christ is the very Word of God to us. The Apostle John is writing so that you might trust the Word, so that you might trust Jesus, and so that you might tell others about this Word, to share the news about this Jesus, to tell people the truth about Jesus. That's why he's writing, the Apostle John is writing this account of the life and ministry of Jesus, the Word of God, so that you can trust the Word and so that you can share the Word with others. And that's why from the very beginning of his book, the Apostle John is emphasizing the witnesses to the Word. He writes so that we can trust the Word and share the Word, to tell others about it. And that's what we see in our verses this morning. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, we see God affirms his word, God spreads his word, and God glorifies his word. Right? This is a word that you can trust and share because God affirms his word, because God spreads his word, and because God glorifies his word. We begin this morning with God affirms his word. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. Now, we are here speaking about John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, right? This is not the Apostle John. How do you know, you may ask? Well, the Apostle John, the one who's writing this book, he's really careful about identities, right? If you read through this account of the life and ministry of Jesus, you see the Apostle John, he's really careful to distinguish between folks of different names. And all throughout his book, the Apostle John never references himself by the name John. Yeah, further, just to see here in our text, if you skip down to verse 19, the story picks up again with this same John. And we see this same John, he's challenged by some of the Jewish leaders, and they ask him, verse 25, why are you baptizing, right? This is John the Baptist. This is John the Baptizer. And he's sent by God as a witness, verse 7. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, about Jesus. Now remember, the Apostle John, he's writing this account of the life and ministry of Jesus. He's writing to non-believing Jews of his day. And for the Jewish folks at that time, and throughout history, witnesses are essential. Right? The Old Testament, for example, requires witnesses in cases of accusations of a crime. And so there's this legal sense here in the Gospel of John, a legal sense in which an eyewitness account can be trusted. It's part of verification. In fact, some scholars think the Gospel of John actually is written as a trial narrative. And it's interesting if that's the case, because Jesus' accusers later in the Gospel of John, they can't find any witnesses against him. And yet the Apostle John, all throughout the book, keeps providing more and more witnesses. You see, friend, that's what's going on here in our verses and in the Gospel of John as a whole. It's firsthand evidence. It's eyewitness accounts, the testimony of multiple witnesses who all saw the same thing. And so all throughout this book, the Apostle John, he's emphasizing the witnesses to what he's writing. He's demonstrating the truthfulness of his account. This word, he says, you can trust it. God affirms his word. It's verifiable by the witnesses. At the time, you could go and ask them, right? It's attested by God. And that means, friend, you can have confidence in this word and in the word in Jesus himself. This is the word of the Lord. Trust the word. Share the word. Trust the word. Share the word, because God affirms his word. It brings us to our second point this morning. Not only does God affirm his word, verify it, but he also spreads his word. I keep reading in verse 7. John chapter 1, verse 7. This John the baptizer, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, so that all might believe through him. The baptizer was sent as a messenger. Verse 6, sent by God as a prophet. That's what Jesus called him. That's what the baptizer called himself. And the role of a prophet is simply to tell others about the word of God. The role of the prophet is to spread the word of God. So, verse 7, he tells this word, he spreads this word so that all might believe. This word believe occurs almost 100 times in the Apostle John's book, 100 times. This is the key reason that he's writing. He says that at the end of his book, right? He says, I write these things, John chapter 20, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. This is the word of God. It's Jesus. He came so that we might have life. Through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, Jesus Christ offers life to all those who will believe in him. The Apostle Paul says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. That's the role of the baptizer. That's the role of John the Baptist. He was sent by God to spread the word of God so that all might know true life that comes only from the word of God. But here's the thing. John the Baptizer, he's only the first witness in this book by John the Apostle. The Baptizer, he's only the first. There are others all throughout this account of the life and ministry of Jesus, including the disciples and apostles themselves. And what we see then is the Baptizer is the first of many, and he's the example of many. He's a picture of Jesus' disciples. All of his disciples. All those who become followers of Jesus then become witnesses about Jesus. All followers of Jesus become prophets who then spread the word of God, who tell others who Jesus is, what Jesus is like, and what Jesus has done for us. You see, friends, when you learn this truth, the next thing is to share that truth with others. Trust the word and then share the word. That's why the Apostle John is writing this book. He's writing so that we might have life by believing in his name. Trust the word. And in believing, we then become witnesses to that word. Share the word. Trust the word. Share the word. I love what New Testament scholar Craig Keener says here. He writes, "If God was invisible until Jesus revealed him, now Jesus remains invisible unless his people reveal him." If God was invisible until Jesus revealed him, remember the Apostle Paul says he's the very image of the invisible God. Jesus himself says, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. If God was invisible until Jesus revealed him, now today Jesus remains invisible, having ascended into heaven, unless we, his people, reveal him through our lives and through our words. And this is exactly how Jesus spreads his word. He sends us. Right? He sends his people just like he sent the baptizer. He fills us with his spirit, he gives us his word, and he places us in the world so we might share the word about Jesus with all those around us. Trust the word and then share the word. This is a core part of why you're here. It's a core part of why God has put you right where he's put you today in life. So that as you learn more and more to trust the word, you more and more then share the word right where you are. Right where you are, God has placed you there so that God, through you, can spread his word. This is the word of the Lord. Trust the word. Share the word. Trust the word. Share the word. Now, here's the thing about truth claims. Especially in a culture like ours today. Right? Competing truth claims eventually create an us versus them culture, right? We know the truth, we have the truth, and those people out there, whoever that is for you, those people out there, right, they're deceived, they're deluded, right? And eventually that us versus them culture, it eventually inflates our sense of self. I mean, look, if I know more than you, well, maybe I am more than you. If I understand better than you, well, then maybe actually I am just better than you. That's the temptation in our truth culture. But look what the text says in verse 8 about the baptizer. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. You see, friends, rather than puffing up, true truth glorifies the word of God himself. God glorifies his word. Now, there seems to be some evidence that in the early years of the church, there were some groups that believed that John the Baptizer was actually the Messiah, the Christ, that John the Baptizer was the Messiah. And so there are these groups that might have arisen and were focusing on the Baptizer as a person and as the Savior instead of on his message pointing to the Savior. Some scholars think that's part of what's happening in our text. They think John the Apostle is writing to remind folks that the baptizer was only the messenger, right? He's simply the witness, the announcer, the best man at the wedding. The apostle writes to say the role of the witness is to bring glory to the word. The role of the witness is to bring glory to the word. Look what the text says. The baptizer was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The baptizer was not the savior. He's not the main act. He's not the center, the focus, or even the goal of the attention. He's simply there to show people the light. And you can see this in his ministry. In fact, at one point, the disciples of John the Baptist, they started to leave John and follow Jesus instead. And so imagine, here's the baptizer, and he's been preaching, and he's been teaching, and he's been gathering disciples, and he's been baptizing them, and now all of a sudden his congregation is leaving for another church. Right? They're all switching schools. They're changing teams. And there's this group of John's disciples that are left. And they come up to the baptizer and they start complaining. They say, look, John. Look, John, they're all leaving for Jesus. What are we going to do about it? Baptizer says this. He says, I am not the Christ. I'm just here to point people to the Christ. He says, I'm not the groom. I'm just the best man. And I'm rejoicing because the groom is here and it's his day and it's his wedding. This isn't about me. This is about Jesus. It's about the light. It's about the Word who has dwelt among us. You see, the role of the witness is to bring glory to the Word. Glory to Jesus Christ. You see, friend, sometimes knowing truth, it tempts us to think ourselves bigger, to think ourselves more important, to think ourselves even better than others. And friend, let me say, if your so-called truth or your faith somehow leads you to think that you're bigger, that you're superior, that you're better or more than others, well, friend, you've missed a key part of the truth. Because God's truth, true truth, God's truth glorifies the Word. God's truth glorifies Jesus. God's truth glorifies the Christ, not the messenger, not the witness. The role of the witness is to bring glory to the Word. This is the Word of the Lord. Trust the Word. Share the Word. Glorify the Word. Trust the Word. Share the Word. Glorify the Word. In a world where we struggle to know what's true and what's not, where even videos and pictures can be changed so that we don't know what's real and what's not real sometimes, in a world where we long to know what's really true, God gives us His Word. And He gives us His Word, the Son. And He affirms His Word. And He spreads His Word. And He glorifies His Word. He teaches us what's true and what's reliable, affirming and verifying the truth about who Jesus is and what Jesus is like and what Jesus has done for us so that we might know the Word, Jesus Himself. And by knowing Him, we have life in His name. We trust Him. And then we want to tell others about Him. Friends, this is the Word of the Lord. Trust the Word. Share the Word. Glorify the Word. Will you pray with me? Indeed, Father, You are so good to us. As that reformer and theologian and pastor John Calvin said, that You're like a mother stooping down, lisping to us like to a child, all so that we might know You and see You and understand You. And You're so good to us that You know our doubt, You know our weakness, You know the world and the enemy, and so You keep affirming Your Word, testifying to it through witnesses, verifying it so that we can trust it. And then You use us, call us to be sent in Your name to share this Word. And also that even in us, Your Word, Jesus Himself, might be glorified. Father, help us fix our eyes on You, on Jesus, to trust You, to share Your Word, and to get out of the way that You might be glorified. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. All my being's ransomed powers. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.